Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode sponsored by our friends at The Wellness Company. Head over to TWCHealth/Dobbs to get your med kit. A med kit with all the essential pharmaceuticals, you know, the ones the mainstream media and Marxist left don't want you to have, like ivermectin, Z-Pax, amoxicillin, and much more. Be prepared for when the next plague hits by heading over to TWC.health/Dobbs and enter promo code Dobbs at checkout to save 15% off your entire order. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Great America Show. Great to have you with us. The Supreme Court this week started oral arguments on the important case Fisher v. United States, where a group of January 6 prisoners of war hostages are challenging the government's gross abuse of power of overcharging these political prisoners. The charge they are challenging is U.S. Statute 1512C2, obstruction of and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. It's a charge that many legal scholars say is way over the top and should never have been a charge against those January 6ers with that statute. It's a charge that in itself could bring 20 years in prison. Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch said in chambers this week he's skeptical of the charge. And in point of fact, let's listen to it. Challenging the Marxist Dem Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar.
If I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst, okay, we don't think it falls within the actus reus
to begin
with. My outbursts
require the court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside the courthouse, we'd have to show that they were aiming at the proceeding.
Yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly, and this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also, but we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We and went around that tree yesterday.
I know. I heard the argument yesterday, but I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of those protesters had corrupt intent.
So mostly peaceful protests that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's
they intend to do it all right.
As you see, the Biden Department of Justice folks aren't exactly the brightest. The Solicitor General simply had no reasonable response or direct response to any of Gorsuch's questions And that's not good if you're the Solicitor General. The sit-ins at the hearings, the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh, or the pulling of a fire alarm to delay a vote by Congressman Bowman, or the mostly peaceful protest during the Black Lives Matter Summer of Love. These Marxist Dems don't get it. Or if they do, they just ignore it. They're openly and outright lawless, and hopefully this Supreme Court will unanimously reject their Marxist views. And over in the House of Representatives this week, Speaker Mike Johnson, he just can't keep running his mouth this way. There's an old saying from Mark Twain that applies here to Johnson like no other. It is better, Twain said, to keep your mouth closed and let people think you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Johnson on CNN with Jake Tapper, where he told Tapper, after World War II, America was given the responsibility to be the world police. Yeah, incredible. Here is Johnson.
We know what the timetable is. We know the urgency in Ukraine and in Israel. And we are going to stand by Israel, our close ally and dear friend, and we're going to stand for freedom and make sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't march through Europe. These are important responsibilities. A strong America is good for the entire world. Since World War II, really, the responsibility for the free world has been shifted onto our shoulders. And we accept that role. We're an exceptional nation. We're the greatest nation on the planet, and we have to act like it. And we have to project to Putin and Xi and Iran and North Korea and anybody else that we will defend freedom. It doesn't mean boots on the ground. We're not the world's policemen, but we're going to do the right thing. And I think the Congress is going to take an important stand here.
This man is an utter fool, this Mike Johnson. He has long overstayed as Speaker of the House. That's about to change. And joining us now is Eli David, and a terrific person he is. And he's also a great patriot. I just want to say to you, first and foremost, this is a moment of extreme suspense for the Israelis as well as for the Iranians and the region. Give us your sense of where Israel will go in terms of its next actions.
First of all, great to be here, Lou. Indeed, just a few days ago, all of us were awake at 3 a.m. in the morning as hundreds of missiles, drone, ballistic missiles were launched towards us. Now, if and how Israel will respond, we will all have to, I guess, wait and see in the next few days. But just the precedent of the leading terror-sponsoring country in the region, in the world maybe, daring to launch hundreds of missiles at Israel is something that cannot go without response. If it goes without response, even if we manage to intercept almost all of them, it will normalizing this, just like Hamas was firing rockets in Israel for years, and we ignored that because we were intercepting them, and we saw how it ended on October 7th. This will end up even worse. So I think there should be a massive response. And I hope there will be.
A massive response. I have to say, I could not imagine Prime Minister Netanyahu not responding like you. I'm agreeing. I guess the questions are now, what is the calculus of that response? What are the counter responses by Iran? Terrorist groups that it sponsors, and some in the region who seem to be asserting themselves, whether it be Erdogan in Turkey, whether it be various smaller states coming to the aid of the of the great Satan, Iran.
One thing we learned on that night, on Saturday evening, is that whatever Iran develops, it will use them. Now, in violation of international sanctions, they developed ballistic missiles. They fired over 100 of them.
Right.
They developed cruise missiles. They fired about 100 of them. They developed suicide drones. They fired several hundred of them. So we all know what's next when they manage to complete the development of nuclear weapons. There is no doubt after what happened this week. Of course, there are players, some of them in the region, that are overtly allies with Israel. Some of them behind the scenes are allies with Israel. And some of them are just trying to appease Iran or are afraid of Iran. But I cannot imagine any country in the region that will be happy to have the foremost terrorism sponsor of the world develop nuclear weapons.
Let me turn to those allies of Israel, which are, let me start with, first of all, is Saudi Arabia being rational in this and in point of fact, perhaps quiescent, but at least supportive of Israel?
They are, and according to the published reports, the Saudi Arabia Air Force actively assisted the allies, Israel, U.S., UK, to intercept Iranian missiles. Biden got credit for helping Israel, but I think an even larger credit that is due is to Donald Trump and Jared Kushner and the Abraham Accords. What we saw on that night, the cooperation of almost all Arab countries, the Western so-called Arab countries, is a direct result of Abraham Accords, that all of them work together. And one of the articles within Abraham Accords was exactly this intelligence and military cooperation we saw in the region. And, you know, that's no longer even hidden. Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf countries, they're all afraid of Iranian actions, and they all actively assisted Israel on that night.
And the degree to which people are ignoring, at least in the West, and particularly the United States, particularly in Europe, the threat that Iran poses to the Arab states, the Gulf region, it certainly does not amount to anything they see as reportable. And I'm talking about both Europe again and the United States. They seem to see this as a one-off situation with the Biden regime demanding that Netanyahu and Israel unilaterally have a ceasefire with Hamas, that unilaterally that Israel make the decision not to retaliate against that outrageous, unprecedented attack on Israel. Again, the only thing different is it's this time the attack is direct and it is massive in terms of the firepower brought against the state of Israel. And yet we have an administration here that is decidedly one-sided in its judgments about what they can do. There has been no statement to Iran by this White House, this regime, to suggest what they should do going forward. But that advice flows freely, of course, to Israel. Your thoughts?
Now, Winston Churchill said, an appeaser is someone who feeds a crocodile, hoping it would eat him last. And that's exactly the behavior of the Western world right now. And another parallel in history is Neville Chamberlain and Hitler in 1940, when he just appeased him and succumbed to his demands, and Hitler took part of Czechoslovakia, and just for the sake of peace, we should not retaliate. Mm-hmm. It ended in the worst war the humanity has ever seen. And that's my biggest fear. If we don't stop it right now, and it would say, well, we would like short-term peace. It's not peace, short-term quiet. We will be sacrificing the future. And we will get to the war. We will get to a much nastier war. And at that point, it will involve maybe many more countries, many more lives lost, and it can deteriorate into a complete regional war if we don't stop it right now, and we can do that. And that's my big concern. The Western countries right now, they don't look like they're inclined to stop it. They're actually, you know, when Biden said the don't, now we see that they actually refer to Israel and not to Iran.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we're going to take up Eli David's thoughts on the other players out exterior to the region, but with massive, massive potential influence on the events to come, namely China and Russia. We'll be right back. We're talking with Eli David. Stay with us. Folks, you know I beg everyone to get ready for the next crisis, and when it comes, our lives will likely change overnight, whether it's natural disaster, war, or another disease. We have to be ready as we can be. We saw what happened in 2020 when we found ourselves dependent on global supply chains. We're still dependent on China and other countries for more than 90% of all our pharmaceuticals. With clusters of respiratory illnesses popping up around the world and here, we need to be prepared, and now is the time to make certain you have what your family needs when the next crisis hits. Our good friends, Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Drew Pinsky over at The Wellness Company have put together just what you and I need with The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. And now The Wellness Company's Medical Kit provides a solution critical to you and your loved ones. This emergency kit includes 8 life-saving medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin for you to keep on hand, along with a guidebook for safe use. From tick bites to biochemical events, every medical scenario is covered. Be prepared for whatever comes next. Go to twc.health/Dobbs and grab your medical emergency kit right now. Go to twc.health/Dobbs now. That's twc.health/Dobbs. Put in promo code Dobbs and save 15% at checkout. Take control of your health today with the Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. Prepare today, be ready tomorrow.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. We're talking with Eli David live from Israel. And I want to start, as I suggested before the break, with your views about the role of China and Russia in whatever events may be next in line in this confrontation between Iran and Israel.
Now, one of the biggest risks for the world is a weak U.S. The moment U.S. is perceived as strong, nobody dares to mess with other countries. Russia wouldn't have attacked Ukraine. Iran certainly wouldn't have launched hundreds of missiles. And I think even Hamas wouldn't have dared perpetrate October 7th massacre. Mm-hmm. But now that in the eyes of the axis of evil, the U.S. is viewed as less strong and less determined to stand up for its values, we see the regional conflicts getting out of control almost everywhere. We see the Russia and Ukraine. We see now Iran is daring to do something we would have never thought they would dare. And I won't be surprised if we see China also taking action there, because all of them look at the U.S. is not willing to take action. So if the chief sheriff of the Western world is not willing to intervene, each country thinks that they can do whatever they want. And so far, nobody's stopping them.
And to me, it's an interesting seeming contradiction. As the Biden administration, which has the worst foreign policy record and strategies since certainly Jimmy Carter, perhaps beyond Jimmy Carter, I can't for the life of me understand where they have the arrogance to suggest to the sovereign state of Israel, to suggest they were ordering Bibi Netanyahu and the Israelis to cease fire, then to not retaliate. Have you ever I cannot recall a time in which we've seen such arrogance from even powerful and talented leadership in the United States. And with this administration, powerful and bright and accomplished, they're not.
The only time previously that the U.S. administration demanded that Israel would not actively defend itself was during the first Iraq war, when Saddam sent missiles in Israel. But back then the message was different. Essentially, the George Bush administration told Israel, you don't intervene, we will deal with it. We are fighting it, we will get things done. This time it's different. This time they're saying it, you don't intervene, you don't do anything, and we won't do anything. Just ignore that. And the preposterous statement of Biden to Netanyahu was, just take the victory and don't respond. It's like my neighbor throws a few hundred grenades in my backyard. I wake up in the morning. Luckily, me and my children are not injured. So I said, hey, it's great. I will just take the victory and I will not respond.
Yeah, it is absolutely that absurd what this administration said, but not only in that instance, but throughout apparently trying to take over the Israeli government. Chuck Schumer, the most powerful Jewish member of the U.S. government, telling Israel to call elections. I mean, the arrogance of these Marxist Dems has become overbearing and, frankly, appalling to, I think, nearly all Americans.
Definitely. Now that regarding Chuck Schumer's ridiculous interference, that the Israeli Minister of Diaspora, he had a good comment. He said, well, Chuck, as a Jewish person, you are more than welcome to immigrate to Israel and become an Israeli citizen, and then you can run for office here. But until then, please do not interfere in our internal politics. That was crazy. I don't think Chuck Schumer would have dared interfere in the internal politics of UK or Germany or France or any other country, let alone one of the closest allies of the US.
Yeah, it is remarkable to me condescension as well as arrogance on the part of Schumer in particular, because he is Jewish and a very important representative of the United States government. Number four in the line of succession. This gets to be really a monstrous period where we are watching an outright attack on Israel with ballistic missiles as well as guided missiles and rockets and drones. And somehow people have decided that because you have the most effective air defense systems in the world, that it's not an event that requires response. It is mind-boggling to see the attitudes that are being expressed by the United States. By the way, I think the Republicans have been altogether too quiet. I'm not going to give them any pats on the back here for the Israeli support that they've shown, because frankly, they've been relatively quiet. And luckily, we have a strong leader, and you just mentioned him, President Donald Trump, who is the leader of the Republican Party. But those below him and beyond, out to the fringes of the party, have said almost nothing of merit or import. Your thinking?
The credit to President Trump is that he's not only on the right side of moral issues, but he's never afraid to express his opinion clearly and bravely. And it doesn't look like he cares whether the audience likes to hear that or not. He just says what he thinks. And I just wish more leaders, not just in America, in the Western world, would clearly express their minds. We see that the senior leaders, even conservatives in some of the Western European countries, they are on the same thought. They are afraid of the jihadist expansion in their own countries. They know that what's happening in Israel will happen there too. but they're not speaking their mind, not to alienate some of their voters maybe, or the media or the journalists. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. They seem lacking in so many ways, with so many of our politicians lacking anything approaching both principle and guts. We're talking with Eli David live from Israel. We're coming right back after these quick messages. Please stay with us. Lou Dobbs here. I'm delighted to let you all know that the program Lou Dobbs Tonight has returned to the air. That's right. Lou Dobbs Tonight is back. We're live each and every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central on rumble.com/Lou Dobbs. That's rumble.com/Lou Dobbs. I hope you'll be joining us for Lou Dobbs Tonight, as our fight to save this country has only begun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back, we're talking with Eli David live from Israel. And again, Eli, we just want to say thank you for your time. Thanks for all you do. And I want to get to the point, I guess, as we're concluding here. Where does this go? How does it end? I'm asking a lot, but if anyone can answer that, I think you have certainly the most likely chance of succeeding.
It can end in either of the following two cases. Either Israel will resolutely complete the war with a decisive victory, so that it would send a message that to all the jihadists that you cannot just one day massacre people and get out of this successfully or get out of this alive. And it will be a lesson for them for maybe decades to come. Or Israel will cave under pressure from its Western friends, and it would just reach some kind of ceasefire or anything that is short of total victory. And that would send a dangerous message to all the terrorists and terrorist-sponsoring countries that you can commit massacres, you can kill people in the Western countries, and there will be some fight, but you will be okay out of that. One of these two outcomes, one of them will bring peace and stability to the Western countries. The other one will be terrifying. I really hope it will be the first and not the second.
Yeah, and it's interesting when we hear the Marxist Dems, this Biden regime, say that Ukraine is defending democracy in its war with Russia. But they don't say the same thing about Israel in the Middle East, where Israel is the only democracy.
Absolutely. Israel is what stands against the expansion of jihad to the whole Western world. We are at the forefront right now. But as we can see, the terror is not limited to Israel. It will expand. And the more daring they are, and the more they think they're succeeding, they will export it, and we will see more terror attacks in the Western countries. Again, back to Churchill's comment on appeaser and the crocodile.
Advice for well worth everyone remembering. And it's a good thing that we, you know, in point of fact, Eli, as you said that, I have been saying of late that there is no doubt in my mind in this tumultuous period in which we all live, that there is no question whatsoever that this is 1939. I don't know what happens in 1940, but this is our 1939. And without any question whatsoever, without reservation, I say that President Donald Trump is our Churchill. The United States does not have another leader in either party from any walk of life who could stand up with his strength, his vision, his intelligence, and his resolve as a leader. He is Churchillian, and he is the man for this moment. And I happen to believe we're going to have a new leadership in place in January of 2025, and we will all be the better for it. Eli David, we're always the better for listening to you and getting your insight and analysis, and we always thank you, as we do now, for being with us and taking the time to talk to us. Thanks, Eli David. God bless you.
Thank you, Lou.
And thanks to Eli David coming to us today live from Israel. He is a remarkable man, remarkably accomplished, and one very bright fellow, as you just learned. Thank you for being with us. God bless you, and God bless America.